Okay, let me open up in prayer, and then we're a little behind. We'll jump into it, spend a little time. There is a handout. If you don't have a handout, raise your hand. There are a couple extra here, and we'll get the handout to you. Poor Timothy, you're sitting alone over there. Can we, maybe you should join it. Oh, you got... If you want, you can join their table there, just so you don't, or else I'll have to put you on the spot. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity you've carved out into the week to have some discussion regarding the gospel and evangelism. Thank you for the teachers who are sharing Christ and sharing your word with our children. It's not a lot of time, 45 minutes a week, but we're thankful as parents to have other adults speaking the truth, underlining the truth that we share at home and we attempt to live out at home in front of our children. So save our kids, grow our kids in grace and knowledge of Christ. Pray the same for all of us as well as we dig. May we learn something today and be something about Jesus, something about his gospel, and that we'd be encouraged not only to believe it, but to share it and to live it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Today we're going to practice the propositions. And last week we reviewed and talked about kind of the statements or the pillars or the propositional truth that makes up our evangelism. And the heart of the proclamation of the gospel were answers to four crucial questions. Who made us and to whom are we accountable? God. Okay. What is our problem and are we in trouble and why? What is God's solution to that problem? How has he acted to save us from it? And how do I, right here and right now, how do I come to be included in that salvation? Why is this good news specifically for me? That's kind of where we landed. And we're trying to get just a brief outline of the gospel. And we learned in 1 Corinthians 15 that the gospel proper, the good news, is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the very heart of the gospel proclamation are those wonderful truths. But we also realize that if we're going to get to the good news of the gospel and then call for a response, which I'm putting under the category of good news, responding to that, I don't think you're faithful to the gospel until... I mean, we have opportunities to share the gospel, but really we need to be calling people to respond to the gospel. How they respond is going to be between them and the Lord. But so I'm going to put under the good news, I'm going to put response, even though their response is really subjective. But calling for a response is important and part of what we're called to do. So we said if there's good news, there has to be bad news. And under the bad news, that followed those questions, they had a couple components. So just to get to see how you're at, you have a handout there, and you have a little pop quiz. A little fill-in-the-blank pop quiz. I'm not going to grade it. I'm not going to look at it, but I want you to do it. And I'll give you a hint. Bad news is the first blank, and you know what the second blank would be. And there's two things under the bad news and two things under the good news. Go ahead and fill that out. And see how you do, and then I'll write it up here. And we'll review that again. Because if we're trying to share the gospel, we have to be convinced of some of these core truths of the gospel. Okay? So fill your sheet out. See how you do. If it's easy for you, good. It's always good to write it down and to review it. All right, so we've got the bad news, and the first category is we're going to have to speak about God, and we're not going to We're just big, broad outlines. We're not going to go into all the details yet. We did a little bit last week. And we're going to have to talk under the bad news about man and sin. God and our accountability to God. He's our creator. He's righteous. He's loving. He owns us. And man is in trouble. Man is dead in trespasses and sin. The bad news. Okay. Man and God are separated. And the good news that you could put down. First thing would be the gospel. Or you might have written Jesus. And you might even put death, burial, and resurrection. And then we call for a response. So these are some of the components from a big picture. You say, well, what illustrations do I use? What verses do I go to? What do I say about God? What do I say about man? How do I tie them together? Look, those are great questions. There's a lot of ways to do this. The Holy Spirit will lead you. We're going to continue to explore this together and fill out what we might do and develop a way of doing this together that we learn. But believe me, if you need to have these components in there to be faithful to the gospel. The good news, the bad news, and calling for a response. Okay, that's where we were. Today, we showed that from Romans 4. Romans actually 1 through 4. We went through this and kind of showed this. But I want to show this in three other passages for the remainder of our time. I want us to look at three other passages. And as we look at this, and the first one is Acts. Okay, so Acts 10, 39 through 43. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10, 39 through 43. And we're going to practice finding the propositions. You say, what do you mean by that? Okay. I want you to find you guessed it, bad news, which is about God, man, and sin. And the good news about the gospel and a call to response. And we're just going to practice finding these components in different passages. And I'm telling you, if you went to Paul's passage, thank you, which soon will be Joshua 10, I think in 2 weeks. But anyways, I bet, even in the Old Testament, as I've preached through quite a bit of the old, not many books, but many sermons in Genesis, boy, faith is there, the gospel is there, it is there. And these components are there as well. So we could go anywhere, but I chose three passages for you to find those components. Some of them are, sometimes it's hard, but do your best. I'm going to read Acts 10 out loud, and then I'm going to give you a few minutes, 5 minutes, to try to find where it talks about God in that light, where it talks about man and sin, where it talks about Jesus Christ, where it talks about a response. And just to underline this in your mind, that this is indeed what happens everywhere you look when the good news of Christ is presented. Acts chapter 10, verse 39. You're there already. I'll just read it. Okay, so Peter is preaching. Verse 39, we pick up in the middle of the sermon. We are witnesses of all the things he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is, to us, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and to solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Great passage. And I'm sorry to put it right in the middle and to not develop the context for you, but I want you to look specifically at that passage I read in your tables, Acts 10, 39 through 43, and find and just write on a sheet of paper. Maybe you have a scribe for your table. Maybe you all want to write it on your sheets. whatever. But just look for those components, those basic gospel pillars or propositions from that passage. Okay, go. I'll give you 5 minutes to practice. Thank you. Okay. So I've chosen a passage out of the kind of the history section of the New Testament, then I'll choose an epistle, and then a gospel, just to show that these components are really everywhere, and we could go to the Old Testament as well. All right, one more minute, 2 more minutes.
I had to break her down half of it so long that was where I shot.
Jason, how's your son doing with this? Is he getting it? Pretty good? Yeah, he's...
learning to osmosis.
Yes. Okay, it's starting to get quiet in here, so so we're not going to pick on any specific tables, but let's try to get all of our information from the table. So if someone says something and you have it, mark it off or whatever. If there's some other things you found, let's get it on here. I'll write it down. We can email this out. Okay, bad news. Where does, in this part of the sermon, where does Peter speak about God? Is sometimes indirect, and you need to kind of look for it, but what did you find for how the message includes God?
42, God is touch.
God is judging.
Okay, God will judge. So God as the judge is presented here. Okay, so there's judgment. That's good. Anything else? Anybody find anything else? Verse 40. What did you find? Okay, so you've got, good. You've got God's power and authority over death. Anything else that you found? Okay. How about man or sin? What did you find there?
That would be verse 43.
Okay.
If there's forgiveness of sins, there has to be sins to be forgiven. Right?
Yeah, so there's the idea of bringing up the idea of forgiveness. Through Jesus, we can have forgiveness. But what's the opposite state of forgiveness? What's the bad news of that? We need forgiveness, but what do we call that? Let's be nasty.
Guilt.
Verse 39.
Yeah, okay.
They put him to death.
Yeah, okay, good. So they put him to death. So he's putting their finger on sin itself, this murder. Good. And to try to stir up some measure of guilt. And the idea, look, if you need forgiveness, then you're under condemnation. It's implicit in the word. Anything else about man?
Yeah, 41. We can argue by omission that there's condemnation in there, because the message made him to appear not to all people, but to us who have been chosen by God as witnesses.
Yeah. Yeah. There. Even the whole sovereignty of God. Sovereignty of God is hinted at in this passage, and in his. Is that where you're getting at? Okay.
It's very specific that there are certain people who are chosen to be witnesses.
Yes.
But I think the rest of Scripture would also support the thing that God came not, that all people are not forgiven, but the chosen people.
Yeah.
There's an omission of people there.
Yeah.
Who are those people? Sinners.
Yeah, yeah.
And the witnesses of God, his disciples, would spread that good news.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. No, I understand. There's. I think it tells us something about God and in here, and something about the gospel itself. You know, we're not universalists. Not every man, woman, and child who's ever lived is going to be saved. And there's a particularity even within that verse. And by the way, that if that doesn't bring you to inability, I don't know what will. God's sovereignty. Okay, God is judge. He's power, authority. There's some sovereignty, forgiveness and guilt, condemnation. They put him to death. There's a specific act of sin. Oh my, when we start looking, there's quite a bit here about these categories. How about the gospel?
Yeah.
What verse do we have here?
Yeah, 43.
43?
Yeah.
We got the death.
His name. And then all prophets bear witness that through him, his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins.
Through his name, okay? Yeah, which talks about the person and his work and his authority, everything about him, his intrinsic in his name. So the death of Christ through his name is you receive forgiveness.
And believing in him.
Okay, we'll get to the belief part. Well, let's stick with this, just to be real particular about the objective nature of the gospel that's presented here. Which is what, according to Acts? I'm according to 1 Corinthians 15?
Power of God.
Okay, so we have, where's the death of Christ here?
39.
Okay, so 39. Okay.
40 raised him, so if he was raised, he had to be buried.
Right. So we have the death and resurrection of Christ that's proclaimed here. Clearly, in fact, 40 and 41 emphasizes the resurrection with two verses. That he appeared to witnesses. It's almost a mini Acts, mini 1 Corinthians 15 right here. Peter makes a big deal out of this. And now we go on to the response. What's the response to all of this?
42, preach.
Preach.
43, believe.
Which is to solemnly testify. Solemn. And to believe. Which is also in verse 43. Everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins. The message has to be preached. A message has to be understood. A message has to be trusted in. A person actually needs to be trusted in Jesus Christ. And there's a result, right? Righteousness and forgiveness and all of the things that we talked about in the sermon today. And so in Acts chapter 10, all these components are there. Okay, let's do another one. Ephesians, this one will be easier, maybe. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 10. I'll read it for the recording. And you at home who are listening to this or are here, then spend 5 minutes trying to find these four components, four pillars, four propositions of the gospel in this section. Famous passage. We've preached it here. I think Pastor Dan did a few sermons here. I know Pastor Paul's preached in here. I don't think I've preached from here. What am I doing?
Slacker.
Ephesians chapter 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them you too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. I mean, Paul is preaching the gospel here. So let's see if we can identify these four components then. 5 minutes. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 10. Go.
Okay.
Yeah, you're doing good. I'll give you A+, plus 20 extra credit. Guess having a little family time over here? Oh, no. Well, it's all up in the steel trap of yours, so... Okay, let's see what you guys have. We could spend... I want to get to that last passage. I got a good reason for it, so let's... I'll start writing. You guys tell me, what does Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 tell us in regards to the bad news about the God for whom we must stand before? Okay, good. So verse 3, I think that's a really good observation. That we're children of wrath.
Why is it under God, not man? Well, because
it's a good... It's yeah. Yeah, it's a great question. And so there's children of wrath, there's children of God, and there's a great gulf there and a big problem that we have. We are under God's wrath, according to that verse. I think it's a good verse for that. It's not... You have to think a little bit, but it does tell us about God and His attribute there, doesn't it? His holiness, that we're under His wrath. But what else does this section tell us about God? Yeah. What verse? I don't know where. I mean, it's in the middle. But God.
Verse 4.
Yeah. Is that verse 4?
Yeah.
Being rich in mercy. Great love with which He loved us. So we have mercy and love of God.
Isn't that the good news?
That's the good news.
No. No, that's the character of God. No, we're just talking about the character of God here. You know, so it's all, what do we learn about God here? Now, I understand, yeah, you could put that under, but we're talking about Christ here. So, now this is important. When we're doing the bad news, we're going to talk about God, and we are going to give them a seed of hope in that bad news. We're going to tell them the Old Testament God, this God of wrath, is a God of love and mercy. And we are going to give them the great riddle of the Old Testament, even in the Old Testament itself. And we are going to hold that hope out of, how in the world can a God of love and a God of mercy, how in the world can these things come together? We got to give them a full, or he's a creator with his authority.
Yep.
He's got his justice and he's got his love. We've got to hit those three components. We've got to.
Okay,
now, I don't care how you do it. There's going to be a million ways of doing it, and we're going to figure that out. So, yeah, it's good. It'll be the core of the good news is in the nature of God itself. Does that make sense to you? So, I would put it here, but you could put it down further. But for right now, we're going to talk about the character of God. He's full of mercy, he's full of love. Now, what else? Anything else about God?
Verse 5, that we are dead. Because of our transgressions, we have to be separated from God.
Good. Separation from God. So God is holy, and we're separate from Him. Then there's the just to get to it, there's the power of God to raise Jesus from the dead. So that, again, the power of God, the mercy of God, the wrath of God, the holiness of God.
Could we say there's God's sovereignty in there? He made us alive.
Yeah, there's going to be hints of God's sovereignty in regeneration. Okay, and about
foreknowledge. God had foreknowledge.
Let's see here. Yeah, yeah. You can see God prepared beforehand. You can see the whole doctrine of even predestination, foreknowledge. It's intrinsic in Paul's writing. It's just absolutely the very air he breathes. Good. So I'll just kind of put that under that verse 10. His sovereign. Okay, man separated from God. What else about man?
Dead in sin.
Separated, dead. Yep, death is separation from God. What else? Pastor Dan had three D's. I'll never forget it. That made me cry. The alliteration was so complete. I think it was dead. Then it was dominated. Then I forgot the third one.
Doomed.
Thank you. Man is dead, dominated by sin, and doomed under condemnation. It's pretty good, and it's right from the text, from verses 1 through 3. The bad news is just heavy. And in fact, that's Kim's first sermon. I'm not kidding. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay, but that's a whole other conversation, but I remember that. And she's still here. But so, dead, dominated, and doomed. Boy, I mean, that's some bad news. And then the good news is about Christ. This is a harder one. Yeah, so raised together with Christ. So with Christ. So what does that imply, that phrase?
It shows the resurrection.
Well, the resurrection of Christ is there. Our resurrection is there. Spiritually and physically later.
Is he talking about Jew and Gentile raised together?
No, I think he's talking about us and Jesus in union with Christ. But if Christ is raised, he must what? Yes. So the death of Christ is implicit here, not explicit. Do you see that? What does he emphasize here? The resurrection. It's interesting. But the death of Christ and then our union with Him. He's already getting to that good news of, that we have, that we are in union with Christ, that we died with Him, that we rise with Him, and but God, right? The great news of but God raised us up together with Him. What a picture of the good news here. Just the big picture plan of all that's it for us in the future, the already of that, that it's so certain that we are seated with Christ even right now. and the future that we have. It's just, it's an unbelievable section. But at the very heart of it is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the more you start studying the resurrection, the more you're going to see how indispensable it is in the good news of Jesus Christ. For all the stuff we've been talking about. And the responses here too, I think. Famous verses. What is it? The response? So 8 and 9. This is all grace you've been saved through faith. Watch this. Not works, but unto works.
10:2. Because God prepared our role beforehand.
Yep.
Through his grace.
Yep. It's all of grace. Through faith, not of works. And yet he's created in us. He's created us his workmanship. Guys, the big tension of how to prepare is a whole other story. But look, you're going to struggle with this. You're going to struggle with lots of this. But one of the things is, how do I get not just the idea of the gospel of the imputation of Christ's righteousness and forgiveness and this, and really get to the nitty-gritty of you must be born again and the inward nature of sin and how it all comes together. It's always going to be a tension and difficulty in sharing the gospel. We're going to have to work on that together. But you see it here, how he does it. The resurrection, that we are his workmanship, that there's a, yes, we're in Christ and we're seated there now, but he's changing us into the image of Christ from the inside out, dealing with the core of the problem. Jesus, I mean, he blows this whole thing when he evangelizes. I speak reverently. Well, you know, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Well, thank you, Jesus. He goes right after regeneration because he knows where Nicodemus is at. He goes right after the heart of the new nature that's necessary for all of this. Isn't that interesting? All right. Well, the last passage you'll have to work on your own, but I'm going to read it now. And you are going to see all these components, and we'll close by reading this. So I want you to turn to Luke. Write it down. Luke 18. And I want you to go through this in your devotions this week. What a passage. A famous passage. We'll read it, and I want you to find all these components in this passage. And I want to remind you of something as you're turning, especially in heels of the Reformation. The Catholic Church in Luther's day did not struggle with the bad news. You tell me if Luther, who froze himself, beat himself, starved himself, trying to find satisfaction and have God accept him, to the point where he was angry with God and angry with Paul's gospel. He was so guilty and so lost and so sleepless and so under... You see what I mean? And we pride ourselves in getting the good news right. Praise God. But oh, for the conviction of sin and to have the bad news sink in where you are so utterly hopeless and helpless before a holy God, to where that good news is the best news you've ever heard. The whole Reformation was birthed on Luther feeling the bad news, struggling with it. So you'll see that in this passage, verse 9. And he told this parable to some people who, watch this, trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, Jesus says, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And then they bring babies to Jesus, and he said, you must become like this little baby, absolutely dependent, absolutely helpless, absolutely hopeless apart from God's grace. That's Jesus preaching the gospel in parable form. So what are the components that are there? God must be what? The tax collector cries out for what?
Mercy.
Propitiation. Mercy. He comes up to the temple. He knows he needs a sacrifice under that system. He needs his sins to be covered, and he knows he's guilty before a holy God. God is a just judge. He knows that God must be merciful. God is ready to strike in judgment for his sin, and he feels it. He feels it. And what do we learn about man? I'll tell you what we learn about man. Here is sin. You trust in yourself that you are righteous. There, you want to define sin? It's you. You are the throne of your heart. You think your good works are good enough. You are in control. That is sin. So sin is there. Sin is in other places there, but we got to hurry. Christ, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That word is propitious. It's the sacrificial language of the mercy seat. It's the shadow and substance of Christ. Because we're still in the old covenant at this point. We're moving into the new. Jesus hasn't died yet. And he's looking for a sacrifice. He's looking for that time where he would lay his hand upon the head and the throat would be slit of that animal and all of his sins would be put on that animal, and that the perfectness of that animal would be imputed to him. It was just a picture. Animals can't do that. But our great Passover lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ, can. He told the story and he was pointing to himself. And you want to hear the great news? He came up what? Miserable. He went down to his house what?
Justified.
Fully forgiven. Fully righteous. How? How? What's the response? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Beating his breast, feeling the weight of his sin, he cries out, hopeless and helpless like an infant baby, God, save me. That's the cry of faith. That's the conviction of sin. That's the gospel in Luke chapter 18. It's everywhere. These four propositions will be a really solid start for us as we try to figure out in the weeks to come how to share the gospel, what passages to go to, how to illustrate it. There's a lot of ways to do this, but I'm trying to hopefully convince you that these are some of the core principles that we have, that we see in God's Word. Make sense? I will not be... Pastor Dan is up next week. He will preach, and he will do CE Hour, Doctrine for Life. Pastor Paul will be up the week after that, and then we'll do the CE Hour, Doctrine for Life. Am I correct? So be praying for them. I'm excited for that, and we'll get back to this when they're done, and we'll start. What we're going to do is we're going to go to God and man, and we're going to try to figure out what our favorite verses are, really good verses that really hit these things we can memorize, and we'll share which ones we like, and we'll get a list, and we'll fine-tune it. We'll figure out how to do this together. It's going to be fun. Father, thank you for your gospel. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for this great news, and for that day when you showed us our need of you and drew us to Christ by your power, and thank you for the gift of faith and repentance. Thank you that you'll never leave us and that you're with us to the end. Go with us now as we walk in light of this truth this week. In Christ's name, amen.